Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi, with a women's initiative of the OU. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and I've been learning with you the Mizmorim composed by Asaf. Asaf composed a total of 12 Mizmorim. The first was Mizmor Nun. This Mizmor, Mizmor Pei Gimel, is his last. Mizmor Pei Gimel 83 is the last of Asaf's Mizmorim, and it is divided into two sections. The first part is a list of enemies who have plotted to destroy Bnei Israel. The second part is a tefillah, a prayer, that God should destroy all of these enemies for the sake of his name, so that the whole world should know there is no one like God, no God like him. Who are the enemies listed in the first part of the Mizmor? There are 11 names, and they represent enemies from all four directions surrounding the land of Israel. From the south, Edom, which refers to the descendants of Esav, and Ishmaelim. From the east, Ammon and Moab, who are also referred to as Bnei Lot, the sons of Lot. From the northwest, roughly Lebanon and Syria, Tzor. And from the southwest, Palashet, modern-day Gaza Strip. There are enemies who are nomadic and who have no set land, namely Amalek and Hagrim, who appear to be descendants of Hagar from someone other than Abraham. And there are enemies whose identity is not so well known. There's a mention of Gival. The only reference to Givalim in Tanakh is in Sefer Yechezkel. They are woodbuilders and carpenters associated with Hiram of Tzor. There's also a mention of Ashur. Ashur may be the nation of Sancheriv, who destroyed the northern half of Israel. They may also be the sons of Dedan, mentioned as part of the descendants of Avraham and Keturah. Having identified, or at least attempted to identify, the nations, we can turn our attention to the request of Asaf. What does he want Hashem to do to these nations? Elokim al damilach, al techerash ve'al tishkot kel. God, don't be silent, don't be mute, don't be quiet. Notice the three terms that are roughly synonymous. This could be stylistic, that is what happens in biblical poetry. It can also be that each term has a different connotation. This is what the Malbim believes, and he explains the nuances of each verb. Elokim al damilach. Damam refers to one who has stopped talking. Al techerash. Techerash refers to one who has stopped answering. The al tishkot. Tishkot refers to one who has stopped doing anything at all. We are asking God to respond because the enemies are acting against us. What are they plotting? Amru l'chu v'nachiridam migoy v'lo yizacher shem Yisrael od. They, the various enemies who we listed above, are saying, let us obliterate Bnei Israel as a nation so that their name will be wiped out. What do we want God to do? To destroy these enemies as he did the following six enemies who are mentioned by name. Sisra and Yavin, Zev and Orev, Zevach and Salmuna. Who are these people? Yavin and Sisra were the leaders of Canaan, the king and the head of the army, respectively. They terrorized Bnei Israel for 20 years. The Shofet, the leader for Bnei Israel at this time, was really a Shofetet, a woman by the name of Devorah. Incidentally, Devorah is one of the seven female Neviot prophetesses whose prophecy is recorded for future generations. Devorah calls to Barak ben Avinoam, who according to the Midrash was her husband, and orders him in the name of God, go gather the troops to fight against Sisra. Barak demurs. He's only willing to go if Devorah goes with him. Devorah agrees, but cautioned him that if she goes, everyone will say, Ki biyad isha yimkor Hashem et Sisra, that God will give Sisra over to the hands of Bnei Israel through a woman. Indeed, the victory over Canaan is accredited to Devorah, who successfully rallies more tribes to come to join the battle than any Shofet before or after her. Credit is also given to another woman, to Yael from the Cainan nation, who kills Sisra by driving a tent stake into the sides of his head, into his temples. Note, this is a stake that ties down a tent to the ground and not a stake you put on the grill. Sisra's death throws the entire Canaan army into disarray, and Bnei Israel are victorious. There are four names mentioned as well, and these belong to Midian: Orev, Ze'ev, the kings, Zevach and Salmuna, the heads of the army. They persecute B'nai Israel for 7 years, but it seems like it felt 700 years to those who were suffering. The Midianim are compared to a plague of locusts, and B'nai Israel take to hiding in caves and tunnels for protection. They thresh their wheat in wine cellars so that the Midianim won't swoop in to take it all. The Shofet at this time is Gideon, from the smallest tribe of Menashe. When an angel calls to him, Hashem imcha gibor hachayel, God is with you, you man of valor. Gideon, who incidentally is threshing his wheat in the wine cellar, responds despondently, where has God been all these years that we have been suffering? God arranges for a series of signs to provide Gideon with double reassurance. God is here to save B'nai Israel from their persecution, and that he, Gideon, will be the man to bring about the salvation. What did both sets of enemies have in common? Asher amru, nirshalanu et ne'ot elukim. They said, we will take for ourselves all the pleasant places of pasture in the land of Israel. They wanted to take the land of God that he promised us. In both cases, God intervenes, gives strength to the Shofet, who overcomes the enemy and drives them away. The goal? Why should Hashem destroy these enemies? V'yed'u ki ata shimcha Hashem levadecha elyon al kol ha'aretz. That they may know that you, Hashem, whose name is the Lord, and only you, are the most high over all the earth. While the Mizmor contains specific references to the period of the Shoftim, when was this Mizmor composed? When did all 11 of the nations listed in the beginning of the Mizmor pose a threat to B'nai Israel? Note that the events of Sefer Shoftim are in the past tense. They are events that had already happened and whose stories were already well known to the audience listening. There are many opinions. Among them, Rav Yoel Ben Nun of Yeshivat Haritzion, who says that this Mizmor was said during the time of David HaMelech, King David. Specifically, before David enters a treaty with Tzor to get wood for his building projects. This is a time when Amalek was still an active enemy. Later on, David will fight against Amalek and Palashet and Ammon and Moab and Edom and all the other countries in the area. Another possibility for the timing of this Mizmor was during the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. That is when Shevet Shimon destroyed the rest of Amalek. This is one of the suggestions made by Amos Chacham of Dat Mikra, who also suggests it may have been written during the time of Melech Shaul, King Saul. Usually placing the Mizmor in the context of time helps us to better understand its words, and therefore its message, so that we can glean more from it. But in this case, it is exceedingly difficult to place it in time, to find a time when all the enemies listed coexist and are attacking B'nai Israel. And maybe it's not so necessary to place it in time to get the message. It is clear that this Mizmor is a national Mizmor, a communal lament. Not one of the verbs listed is in the singular throughout the Mizmor. It is also clear that there is a striking similarity in theme to one of the brachot recited daily in Shmona Esrei, Shover Oivim Umachnia Zedim, to Hashem who breaks the enemies and humbles the arrogant. A bracha that notes that there are many enemies who come to attack us and from whom we ask Hashem to deliver us. This is a theme which unfortunately still resonates. While it can be helpful usually to pinpoint a specific event, I think unfortunately we are too familiar with the idea that resonates in this one. In the same way that other Mizmorim of Asaf have been associated with our tefillot on certain days, for example, Mizmor Pei Aleph 81 is recited every Thursday at the end of davening, while Mizmor Pei Bet 82 is recited at the end of davening on Tuesdays. This Perek 83 is also associated with being recited as part of our davening in many days. Masechet Sofrim notes that it was recited on Purim because of the reference to Amalek. Sfaradim recite this Mizmor in conjunction with two fast days, with some Gedalia, the third day of Tishrei, which commemorates the end of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and Asara B'Tevet, the 10th day of the month of Tevet, which among other things acknowledges when we feel the first destruction actually began. Today, it is a custom to recite this mizmor on two of the yoms, or days of remembrance, that scatter our calendar after Pesach, Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and Yom HaZikaron, the memorial day for those who have fallen from the Israel Defense Forces, from Tzahal. Why these two days? Rabbi Benny Lau, rabbi of the Ramban Shul in the Old City and rabbi of Beit Morasha, says that this mizmor has elements that relate to each one of the yoms. Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, echoes the cry at the beginning of the mizmor, Elokim al damilach, God, don't be silent. Don't be silent can refer to the Shoah, the Holocaust, when we felt God was far away. It was a feeling that Gideon had when he first encountered the angel of God and questioned, if God is with us, why is all of this happening? Why have the Midianim been ravaging our land and terrorizing us? Where are all the miracles of God that our fathers have told us about? This is a theme that still resonates with us today. But we also have times when we're able to fight against our enemies, albeit with a price. Just as Gideon was successful against the Midianim, against Orev and Ze'ev, against Zevach and Salmuna. Just as Devor and Barak and Yael were successful against the Canaanim, against Yavin and Sisra, so too were the soldiers of Tzahal, the Israel Defense Forces, able to push back the enemy time and again. So this mizmor can refer to a time when we say God with his might saves Israel from the hand of enemy. With Mizmor Pei Gimel, we conclude the Mizmorim of Asaf. Rabbi Dr. Benny Gesundheit, the author of Sefer Tehillim Kisefer, the Book of Tehillim is a Book, provides us with the following overview of the Mizmorim. Mizmor Ayin Gimel, 73, begins with how the individual deals with the crisis that existed in the post-Horban world and resolves Kirvat Elokim Litov. The only answer is to get closer to God. Mizmor 74, we shift from private suffering to public suffering, a kina, a lamentation about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Mizmor 75 focuses on God who judges the entire world, and in Mizmor 76, God judges the wicked and the righteous. The middle section of the Mizmorim of Asaf focus on the theme of Bnei Israel as tzon, as sheep, first in the time of Moshe, Mizmor 77, then in the time of David, Mizmor 78, and finally in the post-Horban world, Mizmor 79. If we are sheep, Hashem is our Ro'e Yisrael, our shepherd, and we ask him in Mizmor 80 not to abandon his flock. We compare ourselves to a geffen, to a vineyard, to make sure that passers-by don't continue to trample on our vines. In Mizmor 81, we see words of tochacha, rebuke, of Hashem to Bnei Israel, that they, we, have to remember our obligation to Hashem, to remember our brit, our side of the deal. Mizmor 82 is devoted to the theme of mishpat, justice, and Hashem reminds the judges to judge fairly, and we in turn call upon Hashem, Kuma Elokim Shavta Haaretz, Ki Ata Timchal Bechol HaGoyim, that Hashem, please get up and judge the world so that all the nations will recognize you as the righteous judge. Asaf's message concludes with his last mizmor, Pei Gimel, 83, where we ask of God, our shepherd, to inflict mishpat on the other nations, so that the other nations yidu ki ata shimcha Hashem levadecha elyon al kol haaretz, that you are Hashem, our Lord, the one most high over the whole world. As I reflect on the past year, where we have been dealing with a worldwide pandemic, I find comfort in the words of Tehillim, and specifically in the words of Asaf, whether it is a cry to God to help us as we witness new waves of anti-Semitism, whether it is how to deal with loss due to the pandemic, losses that we had to deal with on a personal level, losses that we had to deal with on a communal level, how we begin to adjust to a brave new world, to a new way of living. I keep going back to two psukim that bookend the Mizmorim of Asaf and to seem to pull the ideas together, and they give me comfort. The first, in Mizmor 73, one that I've recited quite a bit in the past and specifically today, Ani kirvat Elokim litov, Shati b'Hashem Elokim machsi l'saper kol malachotecha. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made Hashem my refuge, that I might tell everyone of your works. and the last line of 83, his last mizmor. V'yidu ki ata shimcha Hashem levadecha elyon al kol ha'aretz. That you should know, you should let the nations know you are God of the whole world. When we don't understand what's happening, when I don't understand what's happening, when it feels like God is very far away, to know that Kirvat Elokim Litov, He's not that far away. I have only to call to Him and He is there. And that ultimately the whole world will understand what everything is going on and happening. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.